Happy Friday, everyone. Another big week, actually a really big week this week, of course, with the Republican primary just happening this Tuesday. Welcome to the Friday Roundup. This is where we talk about some of the big stories that happened across the Lone Star State that we posted about at TexasScorecard.com. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor for Texas Scorecard. And we talked about elections. I think one of the big elections we have to talk about is CD11. Now, this is a race out in West Texas, open seat for Congress. So you had a ton of candidates jumping in. It was a topic of conversation on a couple of our past shows. Want to go talk to Matt Stringer now, the West Texas Bureau Chief, about how that race went down. Matt, looks like even with 10 candidates, somebody actually crossed the finish line, got above 50%.
That's right, Brandon. Election night was actually a nail-biter in this 10-way race that we've been following for many, many months now. Late in the evening, it was looking like the race was going to be a runoff with most of the precincts reporting in around 10 o'clock at night. The race was hung with lead candidate August Pfluger at a little bit over 49%, and we were waiting just for a handful of precincts to report in to see whether or not this 10-way race would in fact go into a runoff, but it ultimately did not.
Yes, and so Pfluger ended up getting just above 52% of the vote there. Pretty big lead anyways, even if he had gotten 49%. I mean, you look at the second place candidate, Brandon Batchen, they're getting 15%. The next biggest person, Wes Verdell, getting just above 7% of the vote. Give us a little background. Who is August Pfluger? Presumably going to be, right, the next congressman in CD11.
Absolutely, Brandon. You know, Congressional District 11, which spans hundreds of miles across West Texas, includes the energy epicenters of Midland, Odessa, San Angelo, and reaches out to Granbury. August Pfluger has been, from the word go, the lead candidate in the race. He emerged on the scene late last year after incumbent Mike Conaway announced his retirement. And raised about $700,000 in roughly 19 days, and cumulatively over the course of this election has raised over $1.2 million, just light years beyond even his closest competitors in fundraising.
And what are you hearing from folks? Obviously, there was some opposition to Pfluger being the nominee. A lot of folks saw him as an establishment choice, looking at some of his money from a kind of Bloomberg-funded group with Honor PAC. Now that the election's done, what are you hearing for Republicans in the district?
You know, there's still some grumblings from activists across the district and everything like that. There were a lot of passions in the race. Some of the other opponents, some of the other top two vote getters, Brandon Batch and Wesley Verdell, ran very inspiring campaigns. But ultimately, I'm seeing, Republicans starting to come around, and we'll probably get behind the nominee, and head, in a united front in November. This is considered the second most conservative district, mm-hmm. Republican district in the nation. So I'd be surprised not to see Republicans rally around the nominee.
This race not going to runoff, but another race, not in West Texas, but up in the Panhandle, CD13, is going to a runoff. You had there, you had Josh Weingarner and Ronnie Jackson. Ronnie Jackson being the former doctor to President Trump. President Trump giving him a last-minute endorsement. Trump also gave an endorsement to Pfluger. How do you think those endorsements played in those races?
From what I've seen, is I think it made a massive difference in this race. Mm-hmm. So many people would say, sort of a constant theme, well, I'm not sure about the guy, but at the end of the day, I trust President Trump, and I'm going with President Trump on this. The statistics out of that Amarillo area congressional race with Weingarner and Jackson, the Trump endorsement came at a very unusual time. It came after early voting during the weekend, and that surprise endorsement rolled out. Candidate Chris Elkstrom, according to a lot of my contacts up there, was favored to go into the runoff with Weingarner, but after that Trump endorsement rolled out, you could see those election day numbers put Jackson into the runoff with Weingarner.
Yes, and so we're going to be watching that runoff. Weingartner actually had a big lead there, but wasn't able to get to that 50% mark, and so the race does go on. You know, now with the CD11 race done in West Texas, what's next in the political realm right now in West Texas?
Well, we have a few local runoffs. In Ector County, we have the Precinct 1 County Commissioner's race. It's going into a runoff between incumbent Eddie Shelton and challenger Mike Gardner. And then in Midland County, we have a state district judge runoff. David Rogers came in first place with 48% of the vote, not enough to avoid that runoff, and he'll be facing a local attorney, Mary Baker, for the 142nd district judgeship in Midland County. So we'll be watching and reporting on those runoffs as we head into the May elections.
Well, I know we appreciate your coverage of those races. Get some rest. Thank you so much for your work, Matt.
Thank you, Brandon.
Now we're going to head over to the Metroplex. We're going to chat a little bit with Robert Montoya. Robert, I wanted to talk about a story you had about a recent meeting in South Dallas dealing with the police. But actually, first, I want to recap a little bit. Obviously, we had some elections up there that you covered pretty closely. I think the big one that everybody was watching was the Cake Ranger Chris Putnam race. Putnam, the conservative challenger in that race, coming up short, but you had an article up at TexasScorecard.com yesterday. It says not exactly a big win for Granger either.
Oh, sorry, Waltons. I was having a moment of silence in memoriam of Pierce Bush's short-lived campaign. As way of the future, like the fifth member of a family that's chosen politics as their profession. But anyway, yes, we were... You know, the Granger-Putnam race, very interesting. Miss Granger, of course, she won by, I believe the numbers were like 57%. But what's interesting is that, as far as I can tell from my research, across the state of Texas, Miss Granger scored the lowest margin of victory of all of her Republican colleagues in Congress who faced a primary challenge.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we normally see this, or we often see this in these races, is a lot of times when you have an incumbent, let alone a congressional incumbent who seemed to be just about untouchable, at least in the state of Texas, you know, a lot of times it does take a couple swings, right, to be able to get those numbers down and get the word out about their true record.
Absolutely. And what we can glean from this is obviously amongst Republicans, there appears to be, if you just look at the numbers, a growing amount of discontent possibly with Miss Granger. But what's also interesting is how the Fort Worth establishment, pretty much they waited to the very last minute to jump in to help Miss Granger. So it's going to be really interesting seeing what her political future is after this election.
Well, not just that race going on in DFW or happening in DFW this week. We also had some other ones. On election night, you were actually at the victory party, what ended up being a victory party for Jeff Kasem.
Yes, Mr. Kasem, in a three-way race, you know, he handily won. He had managed to avoid a runoff, and he won his election. And it was actually very wonderful being there. He had a crowded room. And he told the voters there that this wasn't about him, that he could not have gotten there without everyone's support all the way down from not just people in his campaign, but also the grassroots. And I had asked him afterwards in an interview with him, you know, he's won the Republican primary. What's his message now to all the voters of House District, that House District, which, you know, he's running to replace Jonathan Stickland. And his message was, is he wants to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. He's going to. And he's going to be a voice for all the people in that district in the city of Austin.
Well, and particularly interesting, some people, especially Democrats, looking at that district as a possible pickup for them. So work's not over for Kasem in that campaign, so they march on to November, but awesome to see them avoid the runoff there. Now, the race, the story rather, not dealing with the election, take a little break from the election stuff we have this week, is that you actually went to a very interesting meeting in South Dallas and reported on it, dealing with the lack of police protection right now for citizens.
Yes, and what's sad is this is not the first story I've heard about rising crime and lack of support from the police in South Dallas. I was at a community crime watch meeting in Mountain Creek Parkway at a rec center there, and it was very sad to hear, you know, it was a packed room full of residents, towing Dallas City Councilman Casey Thomas and Dallas Chief of Police Renee Hall, saying that they need help to address rising crime there. You had one resident saying, "We are under attack." Countless complaints about when they make calls to 911, no one shows up or the cops arrive far too late. And what was really particularly sad was one resident, one of the debates that was being had was, can we have a Dallas police, storefront? And one resident who asked, is finances an issue for getting more police officers out here? And Dallas Police Chief Hall said, quote, "We don't have a lot of money in the city of Dallas." Now, this was very interesting because since 2013, Dallas homeowners tax bills from the city went up over 56%. City budget for public safety went up 39%. And the total city budget has increased over 47%. And so it's like, local politicians, they keep arguing, saying, we need more money to pay for public services. But for the residents here in South Dallas, where are the public services?
Exactly. And what do they have to show for those high tax bills? Well, thank you so much for covering that, Robert. Hope you get some rest after these elections, at least for a little bit. Now to go on to our segment, our weekly segment here that we like, Heroes and Halfwits. The heroes this week, who are they? Of course, they're the voters, okay? Specifically, I want to give a shout out to some voters in some pretty big districts, okay? We just talked about Jeff Kaysen up in House District 92, who was able to avoid a runoff. You've also got John Francis, who's heading to a runoff, conservative in House District 60. And I think a big one is you got to look at those two incumbent Republicans who are facing runoffs right now. In House District 2, you've got Dan Flynn, who's been came in as a conservative, has not voted like one for the last several sessions. He finds himself in a runoff with Brian Slayton. J.D. Sheffield as well in West Texas, facing a runoff against Shelby Slauson. The voters came out on Tuesday. They did their job. They're holding those folks accountable. Definitely the heroes of the week. Now, for the halfwit, we're going to go down to the biggest county in the state. We're going to go to Harris County, okay? We're gonna point out a little situation there. How many of you have seen these stories about how long the lines were in Harris County? Well, some media outlets picked up on this, some folks having to wait 7 hours in line. County Clerk in Harris County, Diane Troutman, released a statement shortly after those reports, blaming it on, essentially, Republicans for not agreeing to do joint primary locations. Well, after a couple days of pushback, she's got a mea culpa. She says, you know what? It was actually my fault. She's taking the blame for it, but raises the question, why did she need to blame it on Republicans in the first place? You see the media too happy to go along with this, to blame long lines and a poor voting location situation in a Democrat-run county and putting the blame on Republicans. For that kind of behavior, Diane Troutman is this week's halfwit. Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.